Reading from Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he who would not had that any man shall know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after they he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called them 12, and said unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them, and he had asked them, he had taken into his arms, he said unto them, Whoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me.
Appreciate that, Brother Mark. It's always good when you see young men participating in the service of the Lord, especially in a leadership capacity as this, and especially as you see young men that, well, I guess he's not really a recent convert, but he is still young in the faith. And so he sets a wonderful example before us this day, and we always appreciate men who will take the opportunity for service. Let me ask you this question. By the way, I suppose everyone realizes I'm not Mike Bonner, right? Okay, so we got that out of the way. Mike is not here. It's already been announced he's in a gospel meeting. So just in case you think maybe he was taking some of those Michael Jackson pills, no, he's actually in Fruitvale at this particular time. So, but I would like to ask you maybe a couple of questions in regards to some things. You ever been talking to someone, or maybe from the opposite side? Have you ever had somebody talk to you? And as they're talking, you've got this glazed look in your eyes. I mean, from your side, you're not paying a bit of attention to what they're saying. It probably never happens to you. Every now and then, somebody will be talking to me and I get this glazed look and I realize that I'm thinking about something other than the conversation. Now, it's irritating, it's frustrating, it's being unfocused and I should pay attention, but sometimes I feel as if I'm not paying attention to the things that I should. Now, I know you don't have, but you've probably been on the other side of that, right? You've been talking to somebody and, it's as if they're not listening to you at all. Now, what generally is running through your mind as you're relaying information through conversation to them and you get the impression they're not paying a bit of attention to you? Don't you get the impression, well, they don't care one lick about what I'm saying? And in fact, I have seen commercials. I am not one of those people who watch daytime television drama. But I have seen on the commercials where they actually turn their back to one another when they're talking. I don't know if that's good television or not. I'm not much into good television sometimes, but it just seems strange to me that if I'm starting a conversation with y'all, that I would start it this way. You know, I just can't, I don't know how this is going to work. It doesn't seem like a great conversation starter. But sometimes it's almost as if when you start a conversation with some people, that they might as well go ahead and turn their back while you're talking because they're not listening at all. Now, we can understand that. I want you to take it to another level. You've gotten some recently devastating news. Whatever that may be in your life, your job has just, or your boss has just fired you. And you go home to your wife or your spouse, and they're supposed to be the one who is most in tune with you. And let's say you go home, your wife is in the kitchen. My wife loves to clean the kitchen. And, well, at least she does, I'll put it that way. And she's in the kitchen and you're talking to her and she's rattling the pots and, or maybe she's working on a chainsaw. I don't know. I don't know what your wife is like. Chad and Lindsay may be on the chainsaw for all I know. And Chad's doing I don't know, but I'm just saying. No, Chad's a woodworking guy. He would know about chainsaws, but you know, if they just, oh yeah, I appreciate that, and started that chainsaw, rattled the dishes, not even concerned. Maybe you just got off the phone with a family member and you're in tears and you've heard that somebody very close to you, your mother, your father, somebody that was very close in growing up has now died, and you want to relay that information to them, but they're not interested. They're thinking about other things. They're focused. I mean, would that not be frustrating to you? It's frustrating to me as you're teaching class, and it's as if the class is not even listening. You've probably never been in a class that you never paid attention to the teacher, or that you got off focus from the lesson, and you're thinking and wondering about all over space, except where the lesson is. And you probably never had a teacher, right? We had those mean teachers. You know, those kind with rulers and whips and, okay, maybe not whips, but they definitely had rulers and long boards and, you know, when they caught you not paying attention or paying attention to other things, it was, they didn't even wait to the principal's office back then. But they just started beating you on the way. Well, that's not quite true. I only saw that once. It was an eighth grade Mr. Boyer's class, and it was an art class anyway. Not that it really mattered. No, we might have art teachers. I don't know. But I saw him pick up a boy that was in the eighth grade and just carry him above his head all the way, to the principal's office. And, I'm not sure that Mr. Boyer didn't get in trouble, but I'm probably sure he would get in trouble today if he did that. But the young man wasn't paying attention in class. He was unfocused in his life. Now, we just read a section of Scripture that actually there are three parts and three sections in chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10 of the book of Mark where Jesus is seeking to relay important information to His disciples. And it is as if they are not paying attention to the important information. They are concerned about other matters. Jesus has just told them in verse number 31 and that He is going to be delivered into the hands of men. It says, and they shall kill Him, and after He is killed, He shall rise again on the third day. And they're squabbling about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. They're having a fight amongst themselves. And it says here that when He came to Capernaum in verse number 33, that He wanted to know what they were disputing about. And it's obvious that they were a bit ashamed because they didn't want to tell Him what they had been. He's relaying something about His death. He knows how vicious that death is going to be, and He's trying to relay it to His closest friends here upon the earth. And the Bible says, to some extent, that they are just not interested in what He has to say. They were not focused, as they should have been, upon the Master's words. And we oftentimes fail to focus upon our Master's words. I think this is the real beauty of our reading tree. The real beauty is the fact not in my name on the board. The real beauty is that we as a congregation, collectively, almost 600 books of the Bible that we have read completely through as a congregation, and what it says or should say, what it's designed to say, is that we, as the servants of the Almighty, we desire to focus on the Master's words. As a congregation, we want to be more intimate with the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to know more about our God than we had when we first started this. And so we have an opportunity then to focus. And in fact, every Sunday and every assembly that we have is a means by the which you and I can refocus our minds. Is it not easy that when we get out of the assembly and we go about our daily life in the workforce, wherever that may be, whatever we may do, is it not easy at times to get through a part of that week and to realize, you know, I haven't once prayed. I haven't once thought about my Jesus. I haven't once thought about the awesomeness and the greatness and majesty of my God. I haven't once thought about the Spirit's instruction to us through His Word. And I realize that when that thought hits us as New Testament Christians, it makes us ashamed, doesn't it? Listen, I don't know about you. I guess I'm telling you my heart this morning. I have been there to where I've gone through as a preacher, as an elder, as one who has done work in the Lord's church. I have gone through that week, or I've gone through a part of that week without really focusing my attention to where it needs to be. And here Jesus is coming down to the very end of His life, and we find that these disciples, now He's been with them about 3 to 3.5 years. They have traveled all over Judea, Samaria, and Galilee, and the outer parts of the promised land with Him for that period of time. They have seen some of the most amazing things. Beginning in Galilee in John chapter 2, they saw Him turn water into wine in an immediate manner. They saw the miracles that He did. They saw individuals being raised from the dead. They saw all of that. They saw His kindness and His compassion toward people, and they heard Him focus His attention every now and then about the cross. And yet, for some reason, they are not focusing upon that. It's interesting to me that the section begins with the fact that Jesus is focusing upon them. There were times in the life of Jesus that He focused solely upon the Father. There were times in the life of Jesus to where He would leave His disciples, He would leave those men of His inner circle, and He would travel up to a mountain, and He would pray, and He would be all by Himself in that prayer, and He would focus His time and attention in that prayer upon the Father. And then there are times in which He took those three. You remember that on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, that the other disciples are somewhere else, but Peter, James, and John, the inner three, were there with Him on that particular occasion. He focused His attention for them at that particular time. And there were other times, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, as He is praying, He would leave the disciples back toward the beginning of that garden, and three of them, Peter, James, and John, would travel into the garden, and then He would leave them awake, by the way, ask them to remain awake, stay focused on the events of the hour, and then He would go further into the heart of the garden, and He would pray this prayer, which was so intense That droplets of blood was let out of his skin, out of his sweat pores. This prayer taking about an hour, we have one snippet of information from that hour-long prayer. Let this cup pass from me. Yet he would say, not my will, but thy will be done. And he would return to his disciples who were not able to focus on the events of the hour, and they were asleep. Have you ever talked to somebody? My wife goes to bed real early. And every now and then we'll be sitting in our recliners and we'll be talking, and I'll find out that I'm talking to myself. Because she's out of it. Now, by the way, she ain't here. She don't need to hear this from anybody. Maybe I should have prefaced that with what is said here stays here. She'll just be asleep. Or there are times where she'll be in the kitchen talking, and I walk into a different room and she'll say, "Hello, I was talking." And then I'm ashamed and I go back and I say, "Yes, ma'am." But the unfocused idea of life. Now, some of us, no doubt, are more unfocused than others, right? There are some that have a laser pen focus and they always seem to be on task. And then there's the rest of us, right? That we get off focus quite a bit. That's where the disciples were. But what, I guess, impresses, that's not the right word. The thing that shocks me the most is that this was the hour of Jesus' need, and they could not remain focused on what was going on in that hour. And I would suggest to you, my friends, today, that selfishness, and might I define that just for a second, the art of focusing on self is nurtured within the mind of an individual, a Christian, that does not keep his focus upon the cross. The gospel story tells us of not just the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. There's much more to this story. It begins with regards to the life of Christ, and that life being lived as a perfect sacrifice. He was a lamb that was unspotted. There was no sin that was ever committed by Jesus. He never thought a wrong thought, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 23. He never spoke a wrong word. And he never committed a wrong action. He was perfect as the sacrifice of God. That's where this story begins as far as Jesus is concerned. Now you do have to take one step further back, don't you? Because there is no need for Jesus to be the Lamb of God without the horrific nature of our transgression, our iniquity, our wickedness. He came not for His own self, but He came for us. And here we find Jesus asking His disciples to focus upon the cross, to focus upon His sacrifice just at this moment. And the Bible tells us that they could not. He even focused upon the future from the cross. He even spoke to them about the resurrection. No wonder they wanted to know who was greatest in the kingdom. But Jesus would tell them that if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, then you must be a servant of all. Verse number 35. Now, might I suggest as we look at this lesson today that we never be afraid of refocusing our life upon that which is important? That we should never be afraid to go to our Master in genuine repentance and in sincere desire to seek His favor, that we should stop and pause and say, you know what, I got my life out of whack here. Something is really off. I'm missing church more. I don't even have a desire to go to Bible class. Who cares about the God? Well, I kind of care, but I'm really busy in life, and I seem to be unfocused in everything. Never fear to just stop and say, you know what? I need to get my life back on track. Now, you find that in chapter 9, beginning in verse number 30, that the Bible says, let's drop down to verse number 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. Here is another event. And they were amazed as they followed, and they were afraid. And He took them, the 12, and began to tell them what things should happen unto Him, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and to the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death, and shall deliver Him unto the Gentiles. And they shall mock Him, and they shall scourge Him, and they shall spit upon Him, and they shall kill Him, and the third day He shall rise again. So in chapter 8, He tries to talk to them about the cross. And they're concerned about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. So a little bit later in time has elapsed now, and He begins to talk to them about the cross again. All of the brutality, the scourging, the reviling, the spitting upon, all of the details He's trying to relay to them about this. And James and John are going to have the audacity to come to Him and ask Him to sit on one side of Him when He comes into His kingdom. Other Gospels would tell us that their mother had a little bit to do with it as well. Talk about focused on the family, you see. She was certainly focused on her boys and her boys being elevated. But I do want you to notice verse number 41. I believe 41 is vitally important. It says, and when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Wait a minute. James, John, you sons of Zebedee, you're telling me that you went with your mama and you requested of Jesus to sit on either side of Him in the kingdom? Why would you try to exalt? Who do you think you? You think you're better than me? I don't know if that's the way Peter said it, but I can kind of picture Peter. He's kind of a rough fisherman type. You think you're better than me? You know, that kind of mentality. He's that kind of audacious. But James and John? You wanna be higher up than us? And so it's interesting to me that Jesus begins to focus on these items. Verse number 38. He says, and Jesus said unto them, ye know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? By the way, that's the cup of death. That is the baptism of suffering that He refers to there. And they said unto Him, we can. I don't think they really know what He's asking or telling them. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink the cup that I drink of and with the baptism that I am baptized with, where all you shall be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given unto them to whom it is prepared. Now, notice this, verse number 43 through 45. Again, Jesus takes these selfish disciples. Remember, it's the art of focusing upon yourself. And in a bad way, or at a bad time. Alright? Jesus has just relayed. He's about to be brutalized, and they're concerned about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom again. And so He reminds them, but so it shall not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister or servant. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for the many. When our life is out of focus from the gospel, then we should be ashamed. When our life is out of focus from the gospel, it will cause division in the body of Christ. Did you notice there? They were sore displeased with James and John. There was a rift in the discipleship or in the apostleship at that particular time. They didn't like it. They thought they were better than everybody else. And they were sore displeased with them. I suppose that's never happened in a modern day church where somebody elevates themselves through selfish endeavors and a problem occurs in the church. Even to the point of people being sore displeased with one another. I pray that you have never nor in your entire life will ever witness a church split based upon selfish endeavors. But it does happen. And the Corinthian church is an example of why we need to focus upon the church or upon the cross in our minds. You see, they were like the disciples at this time. They were selfish and they were carnal-minded. They were thinking about the wrong things at the wrong time. And so the Bible indicates in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 1, Paul would say, I could not even write to you and write to you as spiritual because you were carnal-minded. And he says, I know you're carnal-minded. Verse number 4, notice this. It ties back into the Mark 9 chapter. I know you're carnal-minded because there is division among you. Wherein, as some of you say, I am of Paul. Some of you are saying, I am of Apollos. And others, I am of Cephas and so forth. Then I know that you are carnal-minded because there is a division in the body. Doesn't mean that everybody in Corinth was carnal-minded, but the majority there were. And it was dangerous for the Corinthians. So what does Paul do in chapter 1? After he identifies their carnality and their division, he says unto them, for the word of the cross is to those that perish foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Notice with me, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 just for a second and notice a couple of verses here. And verse number 21. For even after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. What are they preaching? The cross, verse number 18. Go through the book of Acts sometimes. What is the heart of the message of the apostles as they spread the gospel throughout the whole world? It focused upon Jesus. It focused upon the cross. And it focused upon the church. That's the gospel message, you see. And so here he identifies that they're preaching. And they're preaching to them that believe. That believe not, that's foolishness. Notice verse number 23. But we preach Christ crucified. Chapter 2 and verse number 2, he says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why, Paul? Why was your focus upon the cross? Why was your focus upon the Christ? And why was your focus upon the church? Because he's dealing with a carnal-minded mentality among the Corinthians. Their struggles and their difficulties, it was their focus on self that got them in all of this trouble. And so individuals that are not focused upon what they need to be focused. In a family, this is the same thing. When a father is not focused upon the cross as his fundamental foundation for being the father of that home. Read Ephesians chapter 5. Have you ever noticed that Jesus identifies that husbands are to love their wives even as, the biggest words in the text, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. My focus as a father must be able to see and to view my responsibilities through the cross. The same is true that a woman is to surrender herself to her husband and submit to him as the church does Christ. So we see that relationship between the church and Christ being the focal point of the family. That in and of itself should allow me to refocus whenever I'm out of focus as a father. Whenever I'm out of focus as a husband. Whenever I'm out of focus in my family, I should pause. I should be ashamed for being out of focus. I should be ashamed that I'm not taking care of those things that need to be taken care of. There is no doubt in my mind that we have a lot of fathers, that we have a lot of husbands in this world that ought to be ashamed of the direction they're taking their families because they are not focused upon the cross. See, when a man is truly focused upon the cross, then he's focused upon service. Did you catch that both times? That Jesus would, after talking to his disciples about the cross, when they got unfocused, when they wanted to know who's the greatest in the kingdom, when James and John wanted to cause a hierarchy in the apostleship, Jesus took them back to service. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, it's a paradox, but it's true nonetheless. That the only way to rise in the heart and mind of Jesus is to get low. You see, the only way to true greatness in the New Testament church is through service. Service to others. Our Lord valued humility above preeminence. Our Lord valued servanthood above being served. He valued an individual giving rather than taking. No wonder it is more blessed. Well, you finished that sentence, right? The title of this lesson, as stated in the bulletin, is Never-Ending Battles. When you read that title, if you did earlier, you probably never thought I was going where we ended up today. But I do believe this is the hardest battle we face in a self-absorbed society is not to be self-absorbed. Selfishness and pride and preeminence. And why not me? Why didn't they pick me? Why didn't I get this? Why didn't I get that? That's all a focus upon self rather than a service of self to others. So let me just ask you this question as we close. Is this the pathway that you are walking? Or maybe I should ask it this way. Which of those pathways are you walking? Are you walking a pathway that has an expectation of what others can do for you? Or are you walking a pathway that says, what can I do for others? What can I do for the New Testament church? Now, before we close or as we close our services this morning, we'll have four young men approach these doors so that you cannot escape without at least taking one sheet from them if you're a member here. And it's called a member involvement sheet. As the elders, we want to better serve this congregation. And that means that we would like to have your participation in some things. One of the ways that we can gather that information is just by asking you to fill out this membership involvement sheet. Some of those areas are behind the scenes. Some of those areas involve the ideal of public leadership. Now, if you're a recently new member here and you place membership here, then you already have filled out one of those sheets. You are one of the first to fill out those sheets. But now we're asking all of our members to refocus their life on some ways that they can help the church here serve one another and serve this community. And so if we stay focused upon the cross, then our mentality and our heart will always be to service. Always. In fact, you know, we talked about giving in relationship to Wednesday nights. And there are two incidents in the Old Testament. At the building of the tabernacle and all of the furnishings of the tabernacle, God tells Moses, I want you to gather from the children of Israel all the things that you need for this project. And then at the temple, the same thing is done with Solomon. And it interests me from this vantage point. We're not talking about giving today, we're talking about service. But a congregation as a whole that is focused on serving will oftentimes have to be told, whoa, that's enough. We can't take any more. We don't need any more. We don't need anybody else to fill up the trays for the Lord's Supper. We don't need anybody else to sign up. Wouldn't it be great? I know from my vantage point I take care of putting down the names, so if you need somebody to talk bad about on the men to serve list, you can talk bad about me. But I know it'd be great to have a list, and somebody keeps coming to me and say, Rick, I hadn't led in prayer in a long time. Well, you're 35 on the list, and to get through 35 people takes a while. It would be nice to say, we don't need anybody else to sign up for the singing. We don't need anybody else to sign up to go by and see widows this week. That would be a great thing. But let's start out real small. And let's just start out by, if you will fill out that paper and bring it back to us, and we will do our dead level best to put you in those areas that your service to this church can be maximized. And your service to the community can help this congregation as we go about serving others. You know, there are all kinds of people around us that are lost. One of the greatest services that you can do is to tell somebody about the gospel. Maybe you're not a professional at that. I don't read anywhere in my Bible that you got to be a professional to tell somebody about Jesus. In fact, what I do read in my Bible is the fact that Jesus deliberately did not choose any of the professionals to get the job done. He chose fishermen. He chose tax collectors. He chose the ordinary men. He chose Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus would say of himself that he wasn't that eloquent of a person. He would say of himself that oftentimes he was rude in speech. And yet at the same time, Jesus chose these men because of their heart of service. Now, some of them were a little rough around the edges, like James and John. Like many of the disciples, and Jesus had to remind them over and over and over again towards service. Now listen, if you're here today and you're not a member of the body of Christ, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we so want you to be a member of the church. We want you to have all of the blessings that Jesus promised to bless the saints. And we want you to be a part of that. And we know what Jesus said. That he identified very clearly that you cannot be a part of his body. That you cannot receive the blessings of eternal salvation, of blessed service in his kingdom, except if you believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That in believing you must repent of all of your past sins, confessing the sweet name of Jesus, and being buried in that watery grave of baptism. We would love We would love to invite you, and we would love to be witnesses to one of the greatest, most glorious events in all of history, of a person leaving the kingdom of darkness and becoming a member of the kingdom of Christ. You can do that today by following those simple steps of service. If you're a child of God, a member of this congregation maybe, and you have gotten off focus in your life, don't you think that maybe today, you know what happens if we focus on, we get it right? Oh, I should have been focusing on that, and then I go back to doing what I was doing. You know what happens, right? You forget about it. My wife will tell me that she needs something done, and I'll go back to watching that basketball game. And she'll say, did you get that done? I say, oh, I forgot all about that. I don't want you one day to be on the judgment day to be able to say, oh, I forgot. I was so focused on other things that I forgot to put my primary focus in Jesus. If you're here today and you've been worshiping with us and you would like to be a member of this congregation, you'd like to place membership, we would love to have you. We would love to have you a part of this body to work as a member involved in this particular work. If there's some way we can aid and assist you in obeying the gospel, please come as together we stand and sing.